Good afternoon, Muskegon. Welcome back to Torn and Two, your show for news, information, and more. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Pastor Melvin Burns is off today. Just a couple things that remember that, can you believe it? September the 6th, football weather. And we are brought to you by our sponsor, Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. See the bishop for all your needs. Custom. And I'm talking about deluxe custom. Thank you, Bishop, for sponsoring us. Remember to listen to us and watch us on all our, you know, Facebook, 103.7 The Beat or M106, YouTube, the Emoji app. You can catch us on all sites. Weather. For today, high of 69, windy, low of 54. Saturday, partly cloudy, high of 62, low of 52. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Sunday. Sunny, high of 67 on Sunday, high of 72 on Monday, high of 73 on Tuesday, high of 75 on Wednesday, high of 78 on Thursday, high of 81, and the lows in the mid-60s. Just a couple things I just want to talk before we get our guest on today is that it is political season. Everybody knows that. Do not be a copy and paste individual. Make sure you take the time to study what the people or actually have to do. And remember, it's a process. When you have a president, somebody running for president saying, I'm going to do this. Remember, it's a process. They have to go through Congress and sometimes the Supreme Court. So just remember that. And with that said, mental health. We just had another shooting in Georgia, as you know. And mental health is such a big key. What do you do when you just built up with such rage and you need to get that out? And if you're so frustrated, maybe a diagnosis of cancer, maybe it's just something that you just need to get your frustration out. Our guest today started a business and we're going to talk to her. And I want to bring to the stage Dawn Levian. Did I pronounce that name right or did I slaughter it?
Nope, you've said it correctly.
Okay, welcome Dawn to the show. You are a first timer. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Like you said, my name is Dawn. I'm owner of Break Room Therapy, West Michigan's only rage room and first rage room. It's a safe space to come in and decompress from things that you're holding on to and just letting go of life sometimes. It won't fix what you're going through, but there's no point in holding on to it. Holding on to it won't help you either. Mm-hmm. I come from a pretty traumatic childhood myself, a foster kid growing up, lots and lots of homes. And as an adult, I've seen a lot of things. I know that mental health is huge and there's multiple ways to take care of that. So when I learned about rage rooms, I decided we needed one. So I opened it.
For people that have never experienced a break room, let's expand on it and talk about what a break room is.
So you will have picked the time and package that you want. Come in, we check you in, go over some safety gear. I can cover you head to toe or nothing. It's up to you on how much safety gear that you wear. The one requirement is a thick-soled pair of tennis shoes. Other than that, we have face shields, safety glasses, body suits, lab coats, gloves, hair nets, shoe booties. Lots and lots of safety gear to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. Then we take you into a room, give you some simple room instructions. And then from there, I feel like my biggest weapon or tool, I guess would be the better word, is a marker. We suggest that if something is making you mad or sad, frustrated, ticked off, hurt, angry, whatever, to take your marker and write it down. And then take your choice of either a bat, a hammer, crowbar, throw it against the wall, hit it on the floor, whatever choice, but go ahead and break that item. It's obviously not going to get rid of whatever it is that's hurting you or making you sad or making you hurt, but holding on to that isn't going to do you any good either. So we just provide a space for you to physically let go of emotional baggage that you're holding on to. We even have 16 therapists that either come here with their clients or send their client to us, and then they go to therapy, or sometimes they go to therapy and then come to us. The other thing that we really encourage is just yelling and screaming. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to physically, whether that is, you know, by breaking something, you're screaming at something, get rid of what you're holding on to. Right place and time. I mean, we can't go doing this out in the public, and I definitely don't suggest, you know, doing this in places that you shouldn't be doing it, but we have a natural need to let go of what we're holding on to, and holding on to it will only cause headaches or stomach aches, digestional issues. I actually have a hairline fracture in my back just from the way I was holding myself before, because I was just so upset. And I had no injury. I have no reason to have a fracture there. And my doctor was watching me, and he's like, it's because of how you hold yourself. But I was holding myself because I just felt tight. So we need to let go of things hurting you. I mean, sometimes people come for fun things. We do birthday parties and bachelorettes and divorce parties. We do graduation parties. We do lots of fun things. But just because there's a date on a calendar, that doesn't mean that other stuff that you're going through just magically stops. And
people, I need you to take the time to share this, because there is someone out there right now on the verge, on the edge of losing it. And this might be an opportunity for them to express that anger and get that anger out. Dawn, you talked about your past. Talk a little bit about growing up and this things that you, some of the things that you want to talk about that made you come to this point today.
From the age of approximately 3, but you know, I mean, who can pick out the exact young period in their life, but from what I can figure, from about the age of 3 to 13, I was physically and sexually abused by my biological father. It is my assumption that he started to figure out that the school system was starting to catch on to some of the items that were taking place. Because I remember people coming to the house and asking questions, but when you're young, it's not like you really know exactly what's going on. But shortly around that time, I was living in the thumb of Michigan at that point. But shortly around that time, it was in February, going into my 13th birthday. And he asked me to watch my sister and myself at Passion Square Mall in Saginaw. And that was the last I saw him. He also kidnapped, or he had also just abandoned us right there in the middle of the mall. My gut tells me he knew that he was starting to get caught on to with some of the abuse that was taking place. And rather than taking any repercussions of what might have happened to him, he bailed. So from there, my sister and myself were put into 2 different foster homes. They couldn't find an opening with 2 of them, or they couldn't find one home with 2 openings. So she went to one home, I went to another. Being a youngin', 4 years younger than myself, everybody wants the baby, so she got adopted. I moved a lot. I moved to 18 different homes. Every time I was moved, it was never explained to me that this was a temporary move, or that I hadn't done anything wrong the last time. So a lot of baggage came with who am I? Why am I so bad? Why does nobody like me? Why does nobody want me? What do I keep doing wrong? Why, you know, why do I keep getting moved? Finally, as an 18-year-old, when I quote unquote aged out of the foster care system, I asked my caseworker what I had done so wrong. And that's when she finally told me I hadn't done anything wrong. They just could never find me a permanent home. And they didn't tell me because they wanted me to get close to the homes I was in. Problem is that also builds up these other trauma. So that was my childhood. Since then, just as an adult, I've seen a lot. I've gone through cancer. I've even as an adult been attempted sexual assault when I was working at a hotel. Somebody needed help in his room, and darn near assaulted me, SA'd me. I don't want to get the radio in trouble for the wrong word, so SA'd me. So that was, you know, it's like just trauma after trauma after trauma. My husband's also a softball coach. For a while, he coached at Godwin Heights here in Grand Rapids. So kids with a lot of broken homes. So we saw a lot of, you know, continual abuse in a lot of different homes as well. So if anybody understands that sometimes life isn't great, that sometimes life is hard, that sometimes life just can beat you down. Life can be a very beautiful thing. It has a lot of things to offer. And, you know, as much as my life has been bad, I'm happy of the life I have now. Mm-hmm. But if anybody can understand that sometimes it just sucks, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it feels heavy. Sometimes, you know, the 24 hours that you're living now just feels like the longest 24 hours possible. I understand that. So when I heard about these kinds of facilities even existing, I looked at all the other ones that were open in the United States. I connected with it to a core that I have never connected to in anything in my life. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I said, you know, I can't fix what somebody's going through, but if I could just give them a space, just give them a place to just let go, to not have to hold on to what they're holding on to just decompress. Bless and that's heart. What I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Don, I want you to talk to people right now that when you're younger age, that you kept bringing up a statement that you felt that it was your fault. Mm-hmm. And talk to those individuals that right now are feeling that because of the hand that they've been dealt.
Well, it's difficult because, and this is no knock on religion at all, even though I do have a hard time understanding some of that. But some of the foster homes I went to was always, you know, where it's told to you that it's God's way of what happens, or if that's his wish, or if that's his plan, or, you know, all these things. Especially when someone dies, you hear someone say, well, it must have been his time. Well, that's just hard, especially when you're the one going through something, but yet you feel like you're doing nothing wrong to ask of those things to be done to you. Mm-hmm. When you feel like you're doing everything right, when you're following the line, when you're towing the right, you know, rules that have been provided to you, but yet you keep getting either physically abused or essayed abused or verbally abused. But at some point you have to say, okay, I'm only responsible for myself. I'm only responsible for the actions that I choose to do. I'm only responsible for what I am saying, what I am doing, what I am feeling. Mm-hmm. So when somebody else is the one choosing to do those things to you, even though it's hard, especially when it happens over and over and over again, or when it feels like nothing does go right, you have to just somehow find a way to tell yourself it's not like you're the one doing that. It just happened to be being done to you. And at some point you also have to start talking to yourself the same way you would talk to a best friend. I no longer talk to myself the way I used to talk to myself, by allowing myself to beat myself up verbally, because I have to be my own best friend. I'm no good for anybody else if I'm not good for myself as well. Mm-hmm. Self-care is not selfish, and taking care of yourself is also not selfish. I would not look at you and tell you that somebody that beat you up, it was your fault. I would tell you that, you know, you didn't ask for it and it's not your fault, and that I'm sorry that those things happened to you. Well, if I would say those things to you, I should say those same things to myself. Mm-hmm. You have to love yourself just as much as what you love somebody else. And if not, a little bit more.
What do you say to the people, you know, people like us that have been through trials and tribulations, that what do you say to those individuals and say, well, you know, we've all had things happen to us. Get over it.
The good old get over it.
Yeah, the good old get over it.
You know, that I'm really thankful that the younger generation is not willing to, for the most part, just quote unquote, get over it. Or that the younger generation is not willing to just say, well, that's how they were raised and it's just fine. Because no, it's not just fine. At some point, you have to look at yourself and say, should I be saying the things I'm doing? Should I be feeling the way I'm feeling? Should I be having to, you know, go through the things I'm, you know, going through? There is no just get over it, because that all that does is minimize what actually happened. And it basically says that what you felt wasn't valid, but your feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. You did go through something. Even if your experience wasn't the same as somebody else's experience, your experience still brought you some kind of feeling, mm-hmm. whether that's sadness, whether that's anger, whatever it was that you felt, you still have the right to feel what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people tell us, well, COVID must have helped your business. Well, first of all, we were open before COVID. We didn't open because of COVID. We were open in June of 19. But I feel like what COVID did do was we all were in the same storm. We were just in different boats. Mm-hmm. For the first time in my life, which I mean, I'm going on, 48 years old, and I realize that's young, but, old to some degree. For the first time in 48 years, we all went through the same thing together, even if we went through it differently. Mm-hmm. I've been physically abused, but that doesn't necessarily mean you've been physically abused. I've been cessay abused, but that doesn't necessarily mean you've been. So you and I can't necessarily connect and have empathy in the same ways as each other. But with COVID, we all went through something collectively. Right. So what COVID did do was allowed us to talk about the fact that this sucks, that this is hard, that all of a sudden, all of our lives were completely flipped upside down. So what it did was it opened up the opportunity to talk about mental health, because there is no just get over it and, deal with it. I also hate the sit down and shut up. You know what? Should a child be screaming in the middle of the store? No. But at the same time, if a child is upset, those feelings are valid. You just need to get that child to be able to express them in a better way or mm-hmm. any more, a way that works for both parties. But get over it? No. If you have feelings, they are valid.
How important is it to reach out when you're going through something instead of holding it in?
Really important. But that's also when those are the times that it feels the hardest. I feel like when we're at our darkest moments or when we're going through something, that we have all these voices in our head that lie to us. They tell us that our friends are sick of hearing about our sad stories, even though they might not be sick of hearing about it. Maybe they don't even know how bad it is. Mm-hmm. I feel like the voices in our head tell us that it's maybe not as big of a deal as what it is. And quote unquote, we need to, like you said, just get over it. I feel like we feel like our friends are going to be too busy and they won't have time to help us, but maybe they don't know that you need the help, or they mm-hmm. don't know what help you actually need. A lot of times I've learned, both in my own personal experiences and just by either helping other people or just knowing about their experiences, sometimes people just need to know that you need the help. And if they can't help you themselves, a lot of times they're like, hey, I can't help you, but maybe this person can, or maybe this solution can, or so it still helps. It's just not where they're the ones actually providing the service. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with admitting that you're not okay. And it's okay to not be okay. What's not okay is pretending like you have to do this alone. What's not okay is pretending like nobody cares.
That's right.
Or that it doesn't matter. Or, mm-hmm. I don't know.
How important is it, to speak out when you have that friend or you see that classmate or that person at work, all of a sudden you see signs of that person is starting to self-destruct. How important is it to reach out and just say something to that individual? You might not know exactly what to say, but to say that, hey, I'm a hand. I'm going to reach out. Are you going through something? What can I do?
I think it's really important. Sometimes when somebody is struggling and going through something, the most important thing they want to feel is seen. The most important thing they want to feel is heard, loved, understood. Mm-hmm. So even if you just take that person aside and say, listen, you don't have to tell me what's going on. You don't have to tell me all the details. I just want you to know that I'm here, that I can see that you're hurting, and that when you're ready, let me know what you need. Mm-hmm. Don't push them to talk to you. Don't push them to open up, but just let them know that, I'm here. And then when they do choose to, the most important thing I can suggest from there is to listen. Just because it doesn't seem like a big deal to you, or just because it doesn't seem to be so traumatic to you, doesn't mean that it's not still hurting that person, because the old story of, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. What they're telling you about right now might not be, quote unquote, a big deal. Mm-hmm. But how many other levels of trauma has that person gone through that they've buried and buried and buried and buried, and now they just can't anymore? So right. That moment might not be the biggest thing, but collectively, they're struggling. So just telling them, I see you. If you need something, I'm here. And then just listening.
Yeah, you said listening. I mean, so many times we're so often to just speak at people, but we're not listening.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that.
Oftentimes, and I'm guilty for this myself too, I'm a very empathetic person. I'm also a very, from what I've learned, it goes back to trauma of never being taken care of myself. So I have this constant need to want to try and take care of somebody else. My needs weren't met, so I want to make sure your needs are met. Mm-hmm. So when someone's talking even to me, as much as I know that the most important thing to do is just to listen and to let them express themselves, and even if their words aren't making sense, what I've quickly learned is I even, you know, want to help. I even want to interject sometimes and tell them, you know, what they should or shouldn't be doing. But I've learned the easiest thing to do is just to let them talk and then mm-hmm. ask them, how can I help you? What are your needs? What do you need at this moment? How can I be a best friend, or how can I be a good friend for you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to vent, or do you need me to help you fix it? And sometimes even just asking that question, like, hey, it seems like you got a lot in your plate right now. Do you need just to basically get it off your chest, or are you also looking for somebody to try and help you give it some solutions? Because when done, then I can give you some solutions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Drama and depression and sadness, they all feel different, but they all stem from something that is hurting.
Jamie Green, yes, because the trauma response is to isolate
them
with depression. Thank you, Jamie. Yep.
We do. We isolate because we feel like, you know, it's just us, or nobody wants to help, or we don't want to bother somebody else. Our life is hard enough. We don't want to go through it. So why would I bother you with those things or burden you with those things? But as much as it is hard to ask for help, that's exactly what should be done. And when we can't help, hopefully we have people around us that can see that we need somebody to say, hey, I see that you're struggling. How can I help?
In a world that you see that a lot of people, it's nobody's business. I need to take care of it. I don't need to talk. Talk to those individuals right now that need to, just get those emotions out. So reach out and talk to somebody and not feel alone or isolate themselves.
Well, and this isn't necessarily meant to gender or stereotype anybody, but in 5 years of doing this, I feel like the individuals that are hardest to understand that it's okay to have a feeling are the male gendered individuals.
Yep.
For whatever reason, whether they were taught that they had to be strong, or that they were taught that they, you know, couldn't express themselves, or whatever it is that makes them feel that way. Because even when I'm in the room and I'm talking about taking that marker and writing down the things that are hurting them or making them mad, sad, frustrated, oftentimes I'll see the guys roll their eyes or laugh it off. And I'm like, listen, all genders have feelings. And no offense, but you getting mad about me talking about feelings, that's a feeling. And it's mm-hmm. okay to have a feeling. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to be at my location because you're struggling. You can be there just because you're looking for something fun and exciting and adrenaline filled.
Mm-hmm.
But it is 1,000% okay to have feelings regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, regardless of your social background, your economic background. We all struggle. And if you're not, I guess I have to ask you, you know, are you really listening to your surroundings at times? Or are you, you know, just trying to tell yourself that you're okay?
Are you being real with yourself?
Right.
Because men were taught, hey, put some dirt on the kid. Men are not to cry. Let's go back to Jamie Green. I was reading recently that asking for help ultimately also builds trust among others and thus community. And thank you, she says. Thank you, Jamie Green.
Agreed. I mean, it's hard. It is. I've been there. I mean, even owning a business.
Yes.
Even that, even having an employee. I have employees for a reason, right? They're supposed to do the things they're supposed to be doing, but I even like constantly would catch myself doing something instead of stepping back and going, wait a minute. I hired them for a reason, let them do their job, you know, ask them to go clean the window or ask them to go put this away or go ask them what my needs are so that I'm not taking that upon myself. Mm-hmm. So even in those kinds of aspects in our life, you know, there are multiple different times throughout our day that we choose to, for whatever reason, do things ourselves, because mm-hmm. whether we don't want to burden somebody, whether we don't think that they will, whether we don't think they're doing it right, whatever it is that we're telling ourselves is going to happen, maybe we need to just, instead of being scared of what could go wrong, be excited for what could go right by asking for that help. If you are hurting and you think that so-and-so won't help you, then find the next person that you think will, or just try and see mm-hmm. what will happen, because maybe they would help you. Maybe they don't know that you need the help.
I like that, what you said. In other words, keep reaching out until you find someone that can help. I always say, don't vent down, vent up, vent to somebody that can help you. Don't vent to somebody that's just not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So let's talk about the business. Okay. So I'm just pent up with rage against society, especially during this political season, and I just want to do something. And maybe I have a group of friends that we need to just get that all out. What can we expect from your business?
So our packages are the same cost for 2, 3, or 4 people for the traditional packages. We do take groups of 5 or more, but those ones have to go directly through me. But groups of 2, 3, or 4, you could go to the website, breakroomtherapy.com, then the book now area, choose which package that you want, and then arrive for your session. You're allowed to bring 15 pieces of glass with you. You're allowed to bring 10 pieces of glass with you for free. So if you've got some extra glass laying around at home, whether it's even spaghetti sauce jars, salsa jars, liquor bottles, an old plate, an old cup, whatever. You can bring 10 pieces of glass with you for free to add to your package. Sometimes people, even before they come in, take the marker and they write down ahead of time the things that they're thinking of so that they're not having to do it during their room session time.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get here, like I said, we check you in, get you into some safety gear, give you some room instruction. And then for 25 minutes, you get to just let go in the ways that, you know, like I said, whether it's you crying, whether it's screaming, whether it's swearing, whether it's writing something down, whether it's throwing something to the wall, hitting it with a baseball bat. Again, I can't fix whatever it is that is going through your life. I wish I could. But what I can do is give you a space just to let go and to not hold on to it, because we can't control everything around us. Most of the time, we can't control anything around us. But what we can control or help is how we are going through whatever it is that we're going through and how we feel about those things. So giving a space just to let go.
You said that you guys do divorce parties. So
could
a person bring in pictures of their ex?
We see it all the time. Yep. We've seen the wedding cake setups. We've seen wedding photos. We've seen the cake toppers. We've seen personal things. As long as it's not filled with some kind of liquid, like, you know, like a snow globe, or as long as it's not a tube TV because of the mercury, if it's something personal to you and it would just help you to, you know, let go of it that way. And if you own it and you can do that, then yeah. I mean, sometimes, I mean, there's been brides that have done trashed a dress where they go and, you know, trash their wedding dress, and, wow. Or burn parties where they burn the wedding dress. Well, this is the same theory. I mean, it's just letting go of something that you're emotionally connected to that no longer gives you that peace, that love, that comfort. So instead of holding on to a hatred for it, you get to just let go of that feeling. Mm-hmm. It won't make you and your spouse back together. It won't undo all the past, but there's no point in walking into the next moment holding on to the things you can't change either.
So talk about some of the emotions that people that you have experienced that have gone through come out, and some of the emotions that they feel when they come out.
So we have a feelings board down the hall. That if I could move my computer, I would show you. But they can write down how they feel before the session if they want. Everything's voluntary. We don't make people address their feelings, and you know, we don't put you on the spot. If you want to add to it, great. If you don't want to, that's fine. We also don't censor what people feel. So, you know, if a swear word's on there, swear word's on there. But they can write down how they feel before their session and how they feel after their session. And on Facebook, in our photo album, we have tons and tons of photos of those before and after feelings boards. Mm-hmm. What people feel before their session versus what they feel after is exactly why I continue to fight to be here for the next 5, 10, 15 years. Because it's always night and day. They feel like they've been able to let go. They feel lighter. They feel decompressed. They feel energetic. They feel alive. They feel like they can conquer the world. Mm-hmm. That they are worth it. That they are, you know, there's something magical that happens in those four walled rooms. And it's just because the person finally gave themselves space to let go of what they're holding on to. And they finally gave themselves the love and the grace of just not holding on to it anymore. And when they walk out, yeah, sometimes they're still hurting. Sometimes they're still sad, but you could just see the weight that they're carrying is just lighter than what it used to be.
What if I'm an individual that I go through and I realize that, you know what? I'm really struggling and I need some help. Do you have access to people afterwards that maybe can, like counselors that you can recommend them to?
So not directly at our facility. It's not like I have somebody on site or on staff, even though all of my staff are very caring and loving individuals. And all of us are very empathetic and sympathetic. I love when I turn around and I see my staff member hugging a customer, of course, you know, with that permission from that customer, but, you know, just trying to like be there for them. But on our wall here, we have, we like to try to support small businesses as much as possible, but in the middle of it, right in center where people can see the most, we have 18 therapists whose business cards are right there, who either have been here themselves with their clients or believe in us enough that they have, sent their clients here, and then we have their business cards. So I've got 18 different therapists that are here for you, multi-culturally. I've got multi-gendered, pretty much whoever you are on earth. We've got a therapist that would probably connect with you and be able to help you. And a lot of therapists nowadays, at least in my experience, if they're not the right fit, they usually say, you know what, I'm not, but this person will help you. But I've got 18 that understand that, you know, life can be hard and sometimes it takes more than just sit down talking, and they're all here for you.
What do you say to those people that say, you know, breaking things don't solve anything?
It doesn't solve the problem that you're going through. It will not take it away, but holding on to it does not fix it either. Keeping everything in will not fix it either. You need to let go of it somehow. And if you're doing it here, that's where I suggest. Now, I even have a video. If anybody goes to my TikTok page, I have a video pinned where, because I had a family member call me one time, not family member, mine, but like a community member call me one time and basically try to hand me my tush for the next 25 minutes on how I'm a terrible person. The business that we're providing is promoting violence.
Wow.
That they just couldn't understand the philosophy of it. And I said, you know, I get that, but just because it's not for you doesn't mean it's not going to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. I am not suggesting that you go downtown Grand Rapids and break windows, or that you go and punch somebody in the face, or that you physically do something violently outside of these walls. There are still rules and there's still a right place and a wrong place to let go. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is sometimes you need to let go of all of that hurt, all of that anger, all of that sadness that you're holding on to. Be it screaming, be it writing down, be it throwing something against a wall, because holding on to that also will not fix it either. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when they're back there and they are breaking something, all of a sudden they start realizing, you know what? I didn't ask for that pain to be to happen to me. It was done to me. Mm-hmm. I am worthy. I am enough. I do deserve love. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for those things to happen to me. And then they walk out of there and they're like, all right, I need to look at the things in my life and I need to figure out that I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel alive. I want to feel loved. I want to feel happy. So no, it won't fix, sadly, everything that you're going through. I can't even fix the own things I'm going through. But what I can do is say, holding on to it won't fix it either. And you need to let go. And then say, what do I need to fix it? You know, what else do I need to fix it? Do I need a therapist to help me through this? Do I need a life coach to do this with me? Do I need to leave the people that are in my life that are abusive or toxic or not adding me harmony? If they're not adding you peace, maybe they need to have an absence in your life rather than a presence in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes you just need that inner moment of just giving yourself grace to let go of what you're feeling and then figure out how do you take that next step.
Dawn, it's very clear that you're passionate about what you do. Talk about being so passionate and why this is so important to you.
Because I've been there. I shouldn't be alive. I had a friend who's no longer with us anymore, which also kind of hurts because at his darkest time in life, I didn't know that he was struggling, which isn't true because I knew he was struggling. But I didn't realize how bad. But at 13 years old, when I got put into foster care, the very first foster home I got put into was also a very abusive home. So I, at that point, tried to unalive and make myself not here anymore. Woke up and, you know, obviously that attempt did not work, which I'm glad now it didn't. But when I went back to school, I had a friend who could tell something was up. I don't remember because, you know, many years ago, I don't remember if he asked me what was wrong or just said, hey, I love you and I see that you're hurting and I'm here. But I know that after a while, I did end up sharing with him what was happening. And that person was with me from 13 all the way up until a few months ago. In January of this year, he lost his best friend, also his wife. And that really took him to the core. He was also a recovering alcoholic. And I could see him starting to go down, but I didn't realize how hard he was going down. I tried to be there for him as much as I could, but you know, if somebody's not wanting help or they don't see that the help will work, it is hard to address those people. Mm-hmm. He unfortunately ended up drinking himself to death one night, which sucks because he was there for me at my darkest time. And I wish I could have been there for him at that time. I know that he knew I loved him. I know that he knew I cared. But sometimes we can't fix our best friends as much as we try. But where I'm going with this is that I've seen a lot. I've felt a lot. I've gone through a lot. And I also have, as a foster kid, the one thing they make you do, well, I can't say now, but when I was a foster kid, is you got to go to therapy. Well, if every time you turn around, you're starting at a new therapist and you've got a new person and you're still going through the same stuff, I got to a point where I just stopped wanting to talk. But all of those years of not talking about it sure didn't do me any good either. All I did was just bury it down. And it made me, you know, bitter or sad or angry or resentful. So when I finally, as an adult, did go to therapy and started getting off my chest all the things I went through, it just made me, I think, a person that can understand that you and I might be going through different things, but that if you're hurting, you're hurting. And I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't be. I'll tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. I'll tell you that it can get better and that it can be okay. But I will never be the person that will tell you that, you know, that you don't have the right to hurt. So, like I said, when I learned about these kinds of businesses and that there wasn't one here, and mental health is such a huge thing. It is 100% yes. Okay to not be okay.
Right.
And again, I'm not a therapist. I don't pretend like I am. I can't fix your problems, but what I can do is just give you a space to just let go because you deserve all the love in the world possible. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to not have to hold on to everything that is carrying you down. And unfortunately, I mean, like one of my favorite comedians growing up, Robin Williams, you know, it seems like the people that are the ones that fake it the best are probably the ones hurting the most. And that's also what's sad about society. Is for whatever reason, he didn't feel like he, you know, could talk to somebody or that he wouldn't talk to somebody. And, you know, we lost a beautiful soul when, you know, we lost Robin Williams. And there's thousands of souls like that every day that are hurting and don't feel seen, don't feel loved, don't feel like anybody cares. And that's absolutely not the truth, because I never met him. And if I could have helped him, I would have helped him.
Mm-hmm. Don, you bring up a very valid point. How important is, I am a strong believer in this, and you are too, in expressing your life story. How important is it for us to be transparent, to tell people what we've been through and how we got to the other side of feeling better, or how we are continuing to work on the things that bothered us in the past?
I don't feel like you have to go through something in order to be able to be there for somebody else that is going through something. But at the same time, just like I wouldn't go to a hairstylist or a nail stylist whose hair or nails are not done well, I don't know if somebody can connect with you if they feel like you also do not understand. Mm. So sometimes sharing with somebody that you understand, that you've also gone through things, that you get it, that you know that life is hard, then sometimes just letting them know that you also have had things happen will allow that person to say, you know what, okay, well, they're coming to me and they want to help and they've been through things, you know, maybe they can help me with this path because, you know, they get it. They can see me. They can understand that, you know, I don't have to be alone in this journey. When we are talking to somebody, it doesn't have to, I don't want them to think like just because I'm sharing with you that now it's about me, because it's definitely not. Mm-hmm. But if you know that my life also has been hard, or that I've known other people really close to me that whose life has been hard, hopefully that would open that opportunity for you to trust me, because we do business or relationships with people we know, like, and trust. Well, if you can trust me because of the fact that I also have gone through shared experiences, or that my life hasn't been this silver-spooned, beautiful, wonderful Disney story that nothing has ever gone wrong, then maybe you will say, okay, you know, this person gets me. They understand.
Right.
The problem with that, though, is letting them know that you've been through something, but not trying to add your own experiences to what that person is going through. Mm-hmm. Because both, like I said about COVID, we were all in the same storm, but we were in different boats. We didn't experience it exactly together, even though we both experienced it. So if it had been easier for me but hard for you, that doesn't mean that I should be like, well, it was easy for me, you're going to be okay. No, it's, I'm sorry that it was hard for you, how can I help? Or mm-hmm. I'm sorry it was hard for you, you know, that's not what you should have gone through. But that's just how I feel.
Let's talk about the other side, and then I really want to get your business and how people can contact and rates and stuff. But how important is that people understand. And this is one thing that I really understand being in the ministry, that, you know, people have their own free will. You can reach out, you can offer advice, you can be by their side, but it's up to that individual to pick themselves up.
It's hard, because it is up to you to choose to want that help. But I feel sometimes people need to know that the help is there, mm-hmm. and that when they're ready. So also on that note, if you ask somebody if they need help, or, you know, if you tell somebody that you see them struggling, know that just because they don't take you up on it initially doesn't mean that you asking still didn't mean something. Mm-hmm. They could still come to you a week later after they've sat and thought about it and said, okay, now I'm ready to talk. Just because you're on that page doesn't mean that person's going to be on that page at that exact moment. Mm-hmm. But letting them know that you're there is great. And then asking somebody to help you is also, you know, great. But also on that note, just because I can't come to you and ask you for help, don't tell yourself that just because you didn't get that instant help, that somehow you're not going to get help, or that that person didn't care. Maybe, you know, you just took that person completely off guard and they don't know what to say and think about everything you just laid on them, because they mm-hmm. didn't know. So it's giving each other space and peace to figure out how to challenge and navigate that together.
I think let's get this clear. you know, just people don't stereotype and just think, well, this only happens to a certain group. You mentioned Robin Williams, but this happens across the whole world. It happens different ages, different races, rich, poor, whatever. People are going through stuff and people are hiding stuff. Yeah. And just because they have a smile on their face and say the right things don't mean that they're okay.
No, and it's hard because, so I remember a time we went to lunch or dinner. I don't remember exactly what was going on directly in our life, but it was a bad day. And we thought going out to eat would, you know, emotionally give you that, you know, sometimes, you know, going out to eat gives you, where somebody else is taking care of you and you just feel better that way. And the waitress came up and she's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And we're like, "We're not. It's been a rough day." And she's like, "Oh, that's good." And I'm like, "Why did you ask how we're doing if you didn't listen to the response?"
Right.
So sometimes you're going to have somebody ask you how you're doing and you're going to tell them that you're having a rough day and they're not going to listen. And I don't think it's because they don't want to or they didn't care. But unfortunately, as a society, I think we're too into the, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. How are you? But we're not. Because either exactly. We're too scared to bury that person with what we're feeling, or we don't want to share, or it's too heavy that we don't even want to deal with it. But a lot of times when somebody says they're doing okay, or that they're fine, they could be. I mean, and I hope that they are. I want nothing but happiness for people. But know that just because you ask somebody, "Hey, how are you doing?" If they're like, "Hey, I'm fine. How are you?" It might be a cover. It might be a neglect. It might be, "I don't want to talk about it."
Let me ask you a question. Has this ever happened where somebody was in a room, went through a room, and went, "I want to go back. I want to go right back in"?
We have had that, but it is also a physical activity. It's not only an emotional activity. You're taking a gym class for 25 minutes. People leave there very tired. They say they want to come back, and we do have a frequent membership card where people have come several times, like over and over, throughout different days. But we've never had somebody that, you know, wants to go right back to a session immediately afterwards.
Okay.
But we do have people that come back. We have people that we recognize, and we're thankful that we're here for them because, you know, they obviously need it. It makes me sad that whatever they're going through, they still are going through. But it also makes me happy that they can see that they're going through something and that, you know, they're choosing us to go through that together with them.
Right. Okay. So let's tell people, talk about where you're located, hours, and let's get that information in.
So we're located in Byron Center. Please know that we are a very, very LGBTQIA community-centered, supportive location, and also very BIPOC safe space as well. I'm going to judge you based on who you are and not your age, your gender, or your race. But we're located in Byron Center on Clyde Park between 76th and 84th Street. Kind of sit back a little ways, kind of behind Focus on Fails. It's a cat rescue. You can find us on every social media except for X or TikTok, whatever it's called nowadays. But you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can find us on the website, breakroomtherapy.com, then the Book Now area. We usually respond really fast. So even if you send us an email or a message on one of those networks, we're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I do open up on the off days all the time as long as I can make it work within my schedule. So if I can open up on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, as long as I don't have anything going on in my own personal life or the business life, I do open up on the off hours as well.
Okay. So I call you today. Can I get in today or what's
so
the
today? Yes. We're still, summers are slow. Summers are very, very slow and kind of scary slow for this business. But I mean, Michigan only has a few months of nice weather, so people want to be outside, and I do not blame them. If somehow we could shut down for the summer, you know, that'd be a wonderful thing too, because I'd like to be outside. But right. In the fall and winter, we get very busy, very busy. So the more notice you give yourself, the more likelihood of you finding an appointment that will work for you. The website will always give you real-time availability with all the different packages and all the times that we have. So, I mean, it will show you exactly what we got going. If by chance you're needing a day that we're not open, you know, that would have to go through me. But in the fall and winter, the more notice you give yourself, the likelihood of having that appointment. In the summer, I can pretty much guarantee you can have the appointment that you're looking for.
I can imagine in the wintertime, especially with bipolar and people.
Seasonal depression is real. I mean, once that sun starts going away and we feel cramped and it's not as beautiful outside and it's cold and it's blustery and all the holidays can be hard for people. And it seems like in the winter we get, just bombarded by a bunch of them all at once. And as beautiful as holidays can be, they can be hard too.
Oh, yeah. Imagine, we take Christmas but imagine Valentine's Day is pretty hard.
So Valentine's Day weekend, and depending on how it falls, just a heads up to anybody looking, heads up on that. It's either the weekend before or the weekend after, and always the weekend of, but you're not getting in unless you make an appointment. It's either anti-Valentine's Day, it's Valentine's Day, or it's Valentine's Day. People are celebrating something different than just dinner and a movie. Okay. For whatever reason, that is always, for the last 5 years, our busiest weekend. If I would have been picking out like what weekend I magically thought in a calendar would be like, that's going to be the one that we're going to like always sell out. I don't know if I would have picked Valentine's Day weekend, but every year it never proves me wrong now.
Mm-hmm. Don, you got a minute. I want you to speak to that person out there that is at their ends with and just feel like giving up.
So I have a shirt that I wear that says, if your parents are not accepting of you, then I am your new mom now. That works in a lot of different ways. It's technically a pride shirt, but I feel like it fits in a lot of different parts of your life. If you feel like you're struggling, if you feel like nobody cares, if you feel like, the world is just falling down, I promise you that a stranger like myself would be there for you if you just ask. You are worthy. You are loved. You deserve to be happy. And the things that are happening to you are not your fault unless you're choosing to do those things yourself. But even if you are, if you see that, those are the wrong things, then, get some help to fix those things. Get help to fix those things. And, just know that it doesn't have to be the way that it is, that you deserve all the love in the world and all the happiness in the world possible.
Don, I want to thank you for what you do and being so passionate about something that is very serious and something that is very needed.
Yep. Mental health is very important, guys. Please know that it's okay to not be okay, and you don't have to stay that way. There's going to be somebody out there that loves you.
All right. Don, take care, and we will see you again.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. Listen, people, mental health is real. The struggle is real. It is hard in the yard. Okay. Listen, reach out. And if you're going through something, get the help that you need. You're not alone. You'd be surprised. Individuals that have gone through some kind of struggle, but they did make it through. But you're not alone, and don't think that you're ever alone. We cover these serious issues because guess what? In life is tough in some areas, and sometimes you do need to scream, and sometimes you do feel like just breaking things. But you know what? There is help out there. And with that said, that's the show, man. The show happened that quick. Thank you. We are back. Remember, we're going to be changing the name. We're working really hard on that. If you have any ideas, please call 231-727-5007. Ask for Lady J. Janae. Also, if you'd like to be a sponsor, we're looking for sponsors as well. My name is Gregory T. Roberts. I'll see you next week. Listen, go out and sow a seed in somebody's life and go out and look. Just look around, because there might be somebody struggling and you might be the answer. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week.